So Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, God spoke to Moshe Achrei Mois Shnei Bnei Aaron, after the death of the two sons of Aaron, Bekarvosam Nifnei Hashem Vayumusu, when they drew close to God and they died, and so forth. And then we get the laws of Yom Kippur. Dabra el Aaron Achicha, speak to Aaron your brother. Moshe gets told, V'alyovei b'chalei esel ha-kodesh, and he mustn't come into the sanctuary at any time. Only on Yom Kippur, and he has to be wearing white linen. Michnesei bad, midoi bad yilbosh al besoroi. So when he goes into the Holy of Holies, there you can't go with the gold clothing and so forth. So the Tiferes Yosef has a very interesting Torah in which he refers a little bit to his Zayda, the Meir Shiloyach, and there was some really important things that he's saying that I thought was Kedai, worthwhile to say over. So he brings a capital Tehillim, capital Kuf Mem Vov. Says David HaMelech says, Halali Nafshis Hashem, that my soul praise God. Ahalo Hashem b'chayai, I praise God with my life. Azamra lekei bo'odi, and I sing to God with whatever I have left. And then he goes on to say, Al tiftchu ben divim, don't trust princes. Beven odem asha'in lei sashir. So it's not really clear what's the hemshach, what's the connection between the idea of my soul praises God, and then Al tiftchu ben divim, don't trust groisem machas. So first of all, the Tiferes Yosef, the Heilige Radzina, he explains, what does it mean, Halali Nafshi es Hashem? What is Nefesh? Now we know that there are different levels of the soul, and the most basic level is called Nefesh, and then Ruach, higher than that is the Neshama, higher than that the Chaya, and so forth. So Halali Nafshi, he says, the Nefesh is that part of the person which is really the lowest level of your understanding. And he gives an example. The Zohar Kodesh says that the Nefesh refers to Havli de Garmi, the air in the bones. You know, the bones are a little bit like, you know, they have like a honeycomb of, right when you get deep inside the bone, in the marrow. And then, even after the body decomposes, you know, there's still the bones last longer than anything else. And then you've got like the hollow in the bone, the air inside the hollows in the bones. The Zohar Kodesh says, the Havli de Garmi, the air inside the bones. That's the Nefesh. And it's almost as though of all the air that we have in our body, of all the ruach, the spirit, the breath, whatever you want to call it, the air inside the bones, the hollow, you know, that's what we're left with after we die, right? So of all the air that we carry around with us, the air inside the bones is what we keep. So the nefesh, so to speak, is that part of us which stays really with the earth, with the most earthy part of us. And the Zohar Kodesh says that it's from this air in the bones that the Tchias HaMesim happens. Like what part of it, what part of us is it that comes back to life, right? And the Zohar Kodesh talks about the kista de chiyusa, that there's like a quart, like a liquid amount, you know, like kista de chiyusa. There's a quart of life even after the sump has gone dry, right? Even after you've emptied the tank of life, there's still like a quad at the bottom. The Zohar Kodesh calls it the Kista de Chiyusa. And that Kista de Chiyusa stays. And when Rabban Shalom brings everything back to life, that's really what gets imbued with the life force. So the Tiferes Yosef says that there's a part of us which, you know, even if we die, that part of us doesn't go away. It's too earthy. It's like solid, what are bones made of, right? Carbon and stuff, yeah. Chalk. These things have in them, they're too earthy to become something spiritual, and they stay, and part of us stays with the earth of which we're made, almost as though there's some an ability of the earth in us to actually be connected, some element of the personality that is so earthy that it never goes to heaven, right? It never goes to Olam Habo or whatever, that it's too earthy, it stays. It belongs in the earth and it returns to the earth. However, that is what comes back to life again with Tchiyas HaMesim. So it's not like the whole personality of a person, their consciousness, their memory, their narrative, everything is gone. And so when God resurrects the dead, then it's like starting from scratch. No, there's some element of a person that's left here on earth. So the Tiferes Yosef says, I give an example. The Gemara says, there's part of the body that's awake even when we're asleep, and that's the nose. And the nose, even though it's the rhythm of the way we breathe through our nose, really, that leads the body into sleep. It's, you can tell by the change in the cadence and the rhythms of the breath that the body is preparing itself to go into sleep and to let go of consciousness. Nevertheless, the nose itself nevertheless, because, you know, even though we may be impervious to the light in the room going on and off or the sounds in the background, but a smell can wake us up. That part of us which the nose, whatever that goes, you know, I think also in terms of where it is in the brain, you know, the olfactory bulb is right down underneath the big mammalian brain, right down there where we share a brain with reptiles and lizards, you know, like really low in the limbic system. And that part of the brain is never, it's connected to emotions or something. It's really, really deep. Got nothing to do with words. So the Gemara says, the af Ma'oirer, af ni'or, the Gemara says in Brachas, meaning that the nose, that's one organ that never sleeps. So the Radzina says, so similarly, there's a part of your heart which never sleeps. Or another way of putting it would be that there's something in your soul that is never so taken up with what's happening in this world that it loses its connection with the divine. That there's part of us which is forever connected with Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and it does, you don't have to name it and say, oh, it's the nefesh or the ruach or the neshama. It is what it is. It's a part of the heart. And that's what he says, that's what the Zohar Kodesh meant when he talked about Kista de Chiyus, that quart of life which is forever connected. That is that part of the heart which never sleeps. It's the part of the person, the soul, which, so he said, now there's part of us, there's that part of us which is the part of the nefesh, which never leaves contact with the earth. It's the havle de garm, it's the hollow inside the bones. And that part of us doesn't even go up with us after we die. It stays, and it has in it that life force with which we never lose. Even when we're dead, there's still enough life in us. Lu'umazeh, parallel, there's a part of us that even when we're sleeping, or even when we're doing the most mundane thing, and even when we're completely distracted and have no awareness what's going on, there's a part of us which is connected to the divine. So just as there is this end of the spectrum, there is the other end of the spectrum. And it says that this is the kavanah of the Zohar Kodesh when he says that the Tchias HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, that will happen from this Kista Dechayusa, because God will say, just as there is a part of every Yid that is forever connected to me, no matter how far it looks like he's strayed away from me and not thinking of me, in the same way there's a part of me that stays, there's a part of me that who is the Chai Olamim, the life of worlds, that stays connected to this person, Behavle de Garme, in the hollow of their bones. So it works two ways, as it always does. The Ishbitzis always takes pains to point out that everything is midah b'midah, and just as we carry part of God inside us, even when we're not aware, because there's part of us that refuses to go into unawareness and stays in the awareness, even though we are not even aware of it, that part of ourselves which is always in touch with the divine. Similarly, there's a part of God which is the life force in us which remains connected to the body even after the rest has passed on. So he says this is what David HaMelech means when he says, Halali nafshi es Hashem, my nefesh praises God. So he says, Kim zois hatfisa hanemucha, with that part of you which is so connected to the earth, that even when the rest of you passes on and goes up to higher worlds, it can't go, because it's mamash, it's tied into the bones. It's the physical awareness of what's happening in the world, in the body. Even that part of you has to praise God. Because if God's rotzon, if God's desire is that with this tefisa, that with this part of you that is completely caught up with your physical body, that you sing to God with that part of you, then you have to. Then you have to worship God with that part of you that just wants to watch television, and with that part of you that just wants to eat and read the newspaper, and sit out on the veranda and watch the people walking past and just listen, to the radio and whatever. All those parts of us which have no desire to worship, they have to hallelujah Hashem. And then the next part of the pasuk is Ahalalo Hashem b'chayai, I praise God with my life. So he says, you have to protect that part of you which refuses to get involved in higher things. You have to sing. You have to worship with your life, with the whole life force, with that part of you that is not going to die, with that part of you that isn't going to pass on and move to higher places, with that part of you that is just going to stick around, that part of you has to get involved as well. And he says that since David HaMelech says, because I realize, you know, God wants me to live, which means to eat and to read and to sit on the porch and watch the people going by. God wants me to do that because, you know, I know from the way my body functions that there's a part of me that's completely disinterested in worship and so forth. And that's where the life force is, in those empty bones, right? So what's the setup? So David HaMelech says, "Halali nafshi es Hashem, halo Hashem b'chayai." It means that God wants me, on the one hand, to live life, and on the other hand, to be involved with Him. But not to be involved with Him at the expense of my life and my nefesh. And then, in order to give to understand what he really means, he brings a Torah from his Zayde, from the Meir Shiloyach. And the Meir Shiloyach, the quote is like this. David HaMelech says, in Tehillim 119, "Nafshi bechapi tomid," my soul is constantly, I'm carrying it on the palms of my hands. "V'toyrascha lo shechochti," and I didn't forget your Torah. So the Meir Shiloyach understands it to mean, David HaMelech said, "Ribbono Shelolam, you know, I'm ready to give you my life anytime you want it. Nafshi bechapi tomid, I'm carrying it, it's here on the palm of my hands. You want it? Take it. I know you don't want it. Why? Because teroscha lo shechochti. Because if I die, I can't keep your Torah. There's nothing in the Torah that you can. There's not one bit of the Torah that you can fulfill when you're dead. So I know that you want me to live, but you know that I, anytime you need me to like let go of life, I'm ready to let go. The reason I don't let go is because you don't want me to let go." So the Meir Shiloyach, the Ishbitzer, says like this. I have to really be careful that what I do with my life should be kvod shemaim. Should be some glory for heaven. That through my life, that because I live in this world and I spend time in this world and I take up space in this world and I do stuff and I learn and I walk and I teach and I talk and I breathe, that at least something from that should be to the glory of heaven. But the Ishbitzer says, and don't think that dying al kiddush Hashem is the answer to everything. The actual words he says, "V'zeh ki odem mechuyev li esmuchen limse nafshe," because a person has to be ready to hand over his soul for the sanctification of the name of God. "Ach bilti b'mokem shum mitzad Hashem izborach levadoi," but only where he knows God's demanding it. Like the Christian comes along and he says, either you take up Christianity or I kill you. No, it's pretty clear what God wants from me. "Avo b'mokem sheyovai lidei mekatrigem," yeah. He says, where people are telling him, "Oh, you got to die, this and that." Don't. Why? He says, because you know, your kiddush Hashem, how's it going to come about through your death? How do you know your death's going to be a kiddush Hashem? Where's the kvod shemayim? You know, I think about this a lot, you know. Where's the Kvod Shemayim? We talk about the holy martyrs, the 6 million holy martyrs. You tell me which one brought glory to heaven. Tell me who walks through Auschwitz this week, a Jew or a non-Jew. Tell me one person who says, wow, you see the glory of God. Anybody? Did one person die in those 6 million that brought glory to the name of God, other than this supposed Misal Kiddush Hashem, this martyrdom, right? The Ishbitza says, you have to be ready to give your life, yeah, but only where you know that it's going to bring glory to God. Ki ein l'chodova boro mezeh. He says, there's nothing clearer than this. Shehu mikayim rotzon Hashem yisbarach. Somebody who's dying al kiddush Hashem. What could be more clear than that's the will of God? He says, no. Ach be'emes gam bezeh tzorach bir. This also needs all kinds of birurin. Im yeh mizeh kvod shemayim. Is there going to be the glory of heaven from my death al kiddush Hashem? It's not so. Who says? I don't think the 6 million brought glory to God. I never heard anybody say, oh, they really brought me to believe in God. God is great. I don't hear it. And the Ishbitza says, don't assume it. Don't assume. And that's why David HaMelech says, Nafshi b'chapi tomid. I'm walking around with my soul on the palm of my hands all the time. I'm ready to give it you. But terascho lo shechachti, I know it's not what you want. You want me to keep your Torah. So, the Radzina says, what is it God wants from us? He doesn't want us to give him our life and just let it go and throw it away and say, I'm giving it to the glory of God and I don't want any part of this world. That's exactly what God doesn't want. God wants me to be in this world. God wants me to be alive. God says, I want you to take that part of you which is so caught up with the world and the earth, that even when you die, it doesn't want to go to Gan Eden. It's got no, it's Olam Hazenik. And you got to praise me with that. And you have to protect it. And that's why the Radzina goes on to say, the next part of the Pasuk is, Al tiftachim ben divem, don't trust in the groyser machas, right? Don't trust in the nodiv. Who's the nodiv? Well, Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, they're called the nedivim. Nedive am ne'sofu am alehe Avraham. Yeah, they had to be ready to give their life to God all the time. That was what was expected of them, because that was the epoch in which they did their business. Al tiftuch ben divim, God says, that's not what I want from you now. That's what I wanted from them right there. They had to show that they were prepared to mesiras nefesh, they were ready to let go of life any moment, day or night. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they put no value on their own life other than what God wants it to be used for. And that's what I wanted from them, says God, at that time. Aber nicht von dir. How? Because the Radzina goes on to say, God put us in this world with the illness of Sveika, right, where everything that we touch has got a little bit of good in it, a little bit of bad, and who can decide what's what? Only you can decide what's what by the way you live your life. And God set it up that way, and that's the proof that God wants you to live your life, because you can only sort the good from the bad by living it. In every decision that you make, there's going to be a little bit good, a little bit bad, and you're going to have to live with those decisions, and you're going to have to see the decision work itself through karmically, and then it's going to become clear whether you did good or whether you did bad, and that's the way the world is set up, and all those actions that you take, they can only be taken with the Hevle de Garme, with the Kiste de Chiyusa, with the quart that's left at the bottom, even when all the oil is gone. And don't, v'al yevatel atzmoy mikol v'kol. And a person's not allowed to give himself away and just say, my wife, my Life is worthless and I'm ready to give it away any moment, Rabbein Shloilem. Because Hayisop Vikeba Chazra, anybody in the grave, are there anybody gonna sing to God? No. Bishoy mi yoidalach, anybody gonna thank you in the grave? No. So he says, this is the meaning of the Gemara in Menachos says, Tcheles doimele yam, yam doimele rekia, rekia doimele kisei kovod. Why is the thread in the tzitzis, the tcheles, blue? Because blue looks like the sea, blue like the sea. Sea is blue like the sky. The sky is blue like the kisei hakovod. Right? So this worm, this blue that comes from the worm, it's like the sea, and the sea is like the sky, and the sky is like the throne of glory. So, there's a big difference between the worm and the throne of glory. Hi, says, but that's what the Gemara is telling us, that there isn't such a big difference. Yeah, somebody gets to the throne of glory by dying. But you know, somebody else gets to the throne of glory by being like something that is like something that is like something that is like the throne of glory. And so the Radzina says, that's what the Gemara is saying. That is blue like this, and that's like that, and that's like something else, which is like the throne of glory. And what? And if you put on the tzitzis, the blue thread, then you're already the Madrega of Kisei HaKovod. You don't have to die and become part of the Kisei HaKovod to be that Madrega. All you got to do is squeeze the worm and make this little bit of wool blue and put it on the corner of your square garment and you're there. So everything that we're doing is part of this. Don't die. I don't need you to die, says God. I don't want you to die. Your job is to live, and to live as much as you can with that part of you which doesn't even know me or want to be interested in me. Live with that part of you and make kvod shemaim, let there be a glory of heaven. And then you're at the level of kisei hakovod. It says, what was it Nadav and Avihu were trying to do? Nadav and Avihu were trying to bring back that moment, you know, when the Mishkan, when the tabernacle was finally dedicated, it was like the moment when the world was finished creation. And then what happened? The angel said, Mo enish kisis kerenu. The angel said to God, what is this human being that you mention him or remember him? Like, who is this creature? T'no hoitcha la shemaim. You know, God, your glory is in heaven, not down here on earth, right? And so then the job of those ovois, the ancestors, our mothers and fathers, was to prove, no, that God's glory is here on earth, because look, any of these creatures is ready to die at a moment for God's glory. And that was for their times. And here again, that was a moment when the Mishkan was finally dedicated, Nadav and Avihu, they had to give their life to show that they were ready to die. Mamish nafshi b'chapi, God, you need my life, take it. But that was for them, bikarvosam lifnei Hashem, because they were so close, right? Ono Hashem Ashiano, Ono Hashem Atzlichano. He brings from the Likutei Torah of the Ari that Eliyahu, Ono is Eliyahu Nadav and Avihu, right? Because we know that Nadav and Avihu died, their soul went into Pinchas, and Pinchas becomes Eliyahu, and Ono. Answer is Eliyahu Nadav and Avihu, and they don't die. The meaning is that you know they're so high, Eliyahu Navi never dies, right? He's like at the level of Kisei HaKovod, right? But why? Because he is that creature that when the angels say, God, what is this creature, man? God points and says, look, here he is. He treads both worlds. But that means that somebody's already done it. We don't need to do it now. Don't do it now. It's been done. And there's, you know, Eliyahu and Nadav and Avihu represent us. And so our job is Hali Nafshi Hashem, Hal Hashem B'chayai, right? So we have to stick, we have to guard, we have to really take care of that part of us which is alive in this world, on this earth. So there's one soul that has to like give itself, and all the other souls have to take care of themselves. So now we see what the connection is, says the Tiferes Yosef, between what Nadav and Avihu did and the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he had to wear only white linen. The Gemara says, if you rent a field from somebody for only a few years, don't plant it with flax to grow linen, because flax takes all the nutrients, the nitrogen and so forth, out of the soil. So if you only take the field for a few years, then you give it back to him, he can't grow anything in it. He's got to start planting beans and other things that fix nitrogen in the soil again, because you've taken everything. So the idea of linen is that you are taking some, you are wearing something that has sucked all the life force, all the nutrients, all the koyach, the yenika, the nutrition out of the soil, because that's what you have to come to the Holy of Holies with, says God to tell Moshe, tell your brother, right? He has to wear this bad, and the Gemara says bad, it's got to be something that grows out of the ground, right? So he has to wrap himself in this earthliness and bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, into the temple, into the Holy of Holies. And at that moment, he has to be at the level of Nadav and Avihu and be ready to let it go. But just once, one person, one time a year, right? He has to be ready to die. Anybody, Kohen Gadol, went into the Holy of Holies, he knew there's no guarantee that he's coming back out, right? And then he says, so what is the in the mind of the Kohen Gadol? You know, there's a sefer called Bris Menucha that the Baal Shem Tov never walked anywhere without his sefer Bris Menucha. In fact, there's a letter, famous letter that he sent to his grandson, the Deo Machne Ephraim, in which he says, I find myself in Brod, I think it was, and I realize I've left my copy of Bris Menucha behind. Please send it me in the mail, in the post. What is the Bris Menucha? It's a whole long sefer that just discusses what was the kavona in the mind of the Kohen Gadol when he said the name of God on Yom Kippur in the Holy of Holies. The Radzin here says, he takes another direction to get to that place, and he says, what is the kavanah of the Kohen Gadol? The kavanah of the Kohen Gadol is, Rabbeinu Hashem, I'm letting go of my life. Right? It's yours. Nafshi b'chapi. I'm here. Right. Now, what do you want me to daven for? What do you want me to daven for? What matters now? Of course, the answer is simple. Life. God says to the Kohen Gadol, choose life, take life, daven for life. And you know, as an aside, you know, one of the things the Goyim tried to do was get rid of this Zochreinu L'chaim Melech Chofzba. I mean, who gave permission to anybody to put stuff into the three brochas at the beginning of davening? We know you can't put any prayers, private prayers, petitions, anything into those first three until after Atu Kodosh. You're not allowed to. So how? The Goyim tried to stamp it out, but they couldn't, you know, and you can see why, because it's a response. Like, if I'm already in Yom Kippur, I'm in the Holy of Holies, and I've given my life, Nafshi b'chapi, like Nadav and Avihu, I'm dead, Al Kiddush Hashem, take it, Rabban Hashem. So then the Rabban Hashem says, all right, what are you praying for? And there's only one thing the Kohen Gadol can pray for, and that is Chaim, to live. And if he has a prayer, it's got to be, please, Rabban Hashem, give us life. And then he takes that feeling of wanting to live, which is the prayer for life, and he's mispashed that for all of us, for the whole world. And so on Yom Kippur comes this blessing of Chaim, all the different levels of Chaim, for all the different creatures in the world, and all the different life forces that have to come. And that comes from the Kohen Gadol having handed his life to God, and then realizing that, you know what, inside me, there's still a desire to live. And that's what God wants me to have. And that's represented by the yenika hakarka, that life force coming from the earth, which is in his clothing, which is in that linen, in that white linen. And he's not allowed to pray for anything else. I want to bless you and me that we should really get in touch with that part of us that wants to live and honor it and protect it and do with it what God wants us to do, which is to live it and to sing with it and to praise with it.